This is unusual for me in some ways, in that here we're in a series. I'm getting close to the end of Hebrews. I have two verses that are, I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to handle the next two verses. They're not as much fun as the rest of the book. Because, well, I won't say anything. We'll see if we can make them live. They're just interesting. But as I was thinking about the holiday, the Thanksgiving Day that is set apart, I don't think it hurts us to continue to be reminded that we do have a special privilege of a new wakeful hour. We should be a thankful people. We should be basking in God's grace. Remember what the word bask means? You're out there on a nice sunny day basking in the sunshine. And that's kind of what it is with grace. Only it's S-O-N shine when we deal with that. And that matter of grace. And so it was interesting to me. I didn't intend to use that word at that point. Because that's in my title. How we came to this point. Because several weeks ago, I've been working in Woodburn. It's been an interesting problem for me in Woodburn in that I'm not, when my hard drive went down, I had notes that were done on the hard drive, to a point. And so I thought, well, I'll only be out for a month. It takes a little while to get the data recovered. And, it's taken more than a month, in that matter. And so, I've been running a lot of research on grace because we're doing Law and Grace in the second class. And I've gone back through grace, the occurrences of grace and of charis and charizomai, those terms, all of those terms. I've gone through them all over again, which is what I tend to do, as you know, on that matter. And it was kind of interesting. One day I was sitting there, studying and working, and I have, well, I don't remember, 40 pages maybe of information of data on grace and the passages and the translations and that work. And I was there, and I looked up and I saw this verse that I was going to incorporate in those notes as kind of a summary verse as I concluded those notes. As I was getting them drafted to read, I mean, so we could try to fill them in when we get the original data on it. And that verse just jumped off of the page. And I don't have that happen to me on it. I mean, I'm so used to just looking at everything. But this verse jumped off the page at me, and it was like, now, why did that happen? Why did this impress me? Because I saw in front of it, or up above it, the title of the book, and it was, or I was beside it in my notes, it was Corinthians. Grace, Corinthians? This doesn't make a whole lot of great sense. And I, again, was reminded of something that's super important, and that is this thing of Thanksgiving. Is, and I put the bulletin cover on again. I'm going to have a little, I'm not changing it. I'm adding to it essentially this morning in some ways. This list of being thankful in all things, for all things, at all times, and for all men. And you have that list there so that we're to be reminded of it. It's hard to be thankful sometimes, isn't it? Sometimes it's hard to be thankful for all men, isn't it? It's real. I mean, don't listen to the news, then you won't have to worry about it. And don't listen to Oregon State and Oregon play football. You're not going to be very thankful for all. And what happened? They both barely lost last night. Both teams. And kind of wild. But anyway. And I don't watch TV. I was listening to on the radio. So anyway, this verse. Out of 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 4, now you notice I have 4 and 5 noted. The reason I did that, I wanted a little context for that verse. So as a result of that, what I have is a 7-point outline. So I won't infringe on Chris's afternoon. But no, I'm going word form by form, word by word. in that sentence in verse 4. And then I jumped down and I've gone to verse 5 because we need the context. Because you have some very interesting things even there. So when we read this section, we read in verse 3, grace is unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a very common Pauline introduction to letters. This is a key part. Grace is, these verbalist clauses, grace is to you. But this is the one that occurs most often in Paul's books. It occurs 8 times where you have grace and peace together and a reference to God the Father and God the Son. So it's a more common introduction to a book. He uses this same introduction in 2 Corinthians. And he uses, I mean, it's there. It's kind of interesting what he doesn't say in 2 Corinthians, but in 1 Corinthians, he does give us what we have in verse 4. And there, he says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God, which is given to you in Christ Jesus. And I can't read by there. We'll talk a little bit more about that. It's interesting. I have in my stack of notes here, I have 27 English translations in front of me, or beside me here. 27 translations, it's translated in 20 of them. So that tells you something. Somebody has, I think they have a better understanding of context. The AV follows an old translation by a guy named William Tyndale. The Tyndale translation had an influence there. The interesting thing is in the King James Version, it's normally the Bishop's Bible that has more influence. And so we will be looking at that. So it's interesting because this one verse, and I call it an interesting lesson in Thanksgiving. This one verse covers all of the key important elements of Thanksgiving. And so when you look at it, it's not obscure, but it's somewhat obscured because we have to understand the terminology and the uses. And so we're going to do some reviewing. There are 17 Greek words in verse 4, 20 in the AV, in the English. So you can see that's not a very, I mean, it's not a real long verse. It's an average length verse. In verse 5, there are a dozen words in the Greek and 16 in the King James. When I say AV, remember that's Authorized King James Version. So when we relate to it, and so what we're doing is going word by word, form by form in here, and teaching something about Thanksgiving out of this passage. And it's just interesting to look at it and see what it says. He starts out, I thank my God. What he actually says here, I am giving thanks to my God. And I'm translating it that I am giving thanks is a continuous action in that it's a present tense verb. Thanksgiving is one of the important terms in our grace communication. The little package is thanksgiving, praise, and worship. Or worship, thanksgiving, and praise, if you want order in that matter. Now, what is thanksgiving? Thanksgiving is a response to the good grace of God. That is, EU in front of it, Eucharistia, or Eucharisteo, to give a verb and a noun. The EU in front of it is a short form of agathos, which is a word for good. It's something that is you respond to with a certain amount of happiness. And so the good says, this just makes me happy, and God's grace is the other half of it, is charis. And so when you see these two together, we're dealing with a grace concept. And so when we read, and I went back to pick up verse 3, it starts with charis, that is the word grace. Grace is. It's amazing how often that occurs in Paul. And this is a commercial time for Woodburn. When we get back on December the 2nd, we are going to be working down through these grace is's, the verbose clauses that are here. But thanksgiving for the good grace. So you have grace mentioned in essence twice in verse 4. Once in the verb, good grace, and then once by itself, where it's just grace. And so it becomes very, very important to us. Thanksgiving is a continuous action verb. I continually am thankful. It's amazing how often that occurs in the word thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, the verb occurs 39 times in the New Testament. It's amazing how often it is found in the present tense. I am being thankful. When I look at it, we haven't sung Come Ye Thankful People. If you looked across the page from Thanks to God, that's across there. And I wasn't sure that I wanted to try to lead it. I'm being very cautious about the high notes. And you look beyond my fault, I did not hit that high note once. I just mouthed it. So you're going to mouth a high note. And it's just because my voice doesn't have the range it used to have on it. And so when he says, I am giving thanks to God, or I continually thank God, it's important to realize it's a continuous action. Whenever Paul thought about the Corinthians, he was thankful. It's interesting. Do you ever think in those terms, whenever you think about somebody, to be thankful if they're a believer or a non-believer? Ooh, that's kind of hard sometimes, isn't it? Some of those people that we think about. Some of the reasons we think about them is because they have negative thoughts because of something that's gone on. But it's kind of interesting. Paul says, I am continually thankful. Now, the reason I say thankful instead of I give thanks is because there's a form with God. It's in locative instrumental dative form. So it would be to God. And so it works better to translate it a little differently. I didn't put a translation in this one, like I do in Hebrews, or I usually do. And so, it's interesting. Paul can be thankful for what he does and what he doesn't do. It's interesting if you skim across, look over at verse 14. He says, I thank God that I baptized none of you, but Crispus, Gaius, lest any should say I baptized them in my own name. He says, I only know two people in Corinth that I baptized or I immersed. Baptism wasn't important to Paul. He said, I'm thankful for that. And, how many people would stand in line if they knew who the apostle was and want to be baptized by him? I know people go to Israel and they want to be baptized in the dirty water of the Jordan. Now let's translate that a little differently. In that polluted water of the Jordan, just because there's some grace in it, they think. And, I don't know what kind of amoebas and everything else are in that water. But Paul said, I thank God I didn't do something. Just two people. So I am thanking God. Now, I made the list and I put them in a different order because I didn't even look at this bulletin cover, which is my normal list, in this matter of, how Thanksgiving general principles work. At all times, keep your finger here, it's obvious we're going to be back. In 2 Thessalonians 2:13, it says, we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Now, what I'm looking at is that word, I give thanks always, at all times. It's not just Ephesians 5:20. Let's go over there and read that. In fact, you can add, I guess I did this outline without consulting that material before because I'd like to be fresh in my mind. But in Ephesians chapter 5, We have two of these emphases, and that's why I put them in the bulletin years ago. In Ephesians 5:20, it says, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so you see, here you have this idea of always, that is, at all times and for all things. And so that's why it's on the cover of the bulletin. So if you want to add Ephesians 5:20, at all times, it's there. Always is found in 2 Thessalonians 1:3 and 1 Thessalonians 1:2. I know it's all backwards here, but I wanted to read that 2:13. We just read 5:20 of Ephesians, which means we would be skipping down. But in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it's interesting how much thanksgiving there is included in the Thessalonian epistles, especially first. And in 5:18, what does it say? It says, in everything. And there you have a locative in. It should be that way. In everything, give thanks, for this is the desirous will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. If you're in Christ Jesus, this is what God desires you to do, to be thankful in everything. And so you can see that in that phrase. 1 Timothy 2:1 has four different forms of communication. And when we read it, you'll see that we are to be thankful for all men. And that's 1 Timothy 2:1. I exhort there, first of all, supplications, prayers of worship, intercessions, and the giving of thanks be made for all men. Kind of hard to be thankful for all men. There are some of the, it says all men, not just a few. Men are in Satan's world system that work. They're evil, they're wicked. They kill Christians in some parts of the world. They persecute Christians in parts of the world. It's kind of hard to be thankful for all men. Sometimes we need to stop and say, I've been reading a little bit about the issues concerning nuclear holocaust and some of the things that were going on with the uncertainty of the power of the hydrogen bomb. They were fooled with the hydrogen bomb when they did the tests in the Pacific, South Pacific. They had calculated very well that they could make this size of bomb and it would produce so many megatons of power. And they dropped this, was the first or the second anyway, and it proved to be about 10 times worse than they predicted. They began to wonder whether the planet was going to exist because it was so strong. It was so powerful. There was more power in that bomb for the amount of fusionable. Let's get the second bomb, the hydrogen. For a fusion to take place, they had no idea how much power it would take. And then you start reading of these ideas. Iran scares me. Because they're working on what? An atomic bomb. I happen to know a country over there they'd like to drop it on. And who knows if they drop a bomb on Israel and they were to develop it, what would happen to Iran? I don't think it would be all Israeli bombs that would land there. I don't know how many they have. I think I read one time they had four, which is still a lot of power. Nothing like ours and Russia's, even today. And so it's interesting, this idea of being thankful for all men. Could I be thankful for an Adolf Hitler? A Chairman Mao? Comrade Stalin? Pol Pot? Those are just the easy ones to remember. Wicked, wicked, wicked people. or Hirohito. That kind of gives you an idea. Back when I look into my past, I'm old enough to have had the reaction of some of our guys that had fought in World War II, and the attitude. And then, they killed hundreds of thousands of people. You realize the Japanese violated the Geneva Convention over and over and over because they said they didn't sign it. So they killed civilians deliberately. They killed prisoners of war, which the Geneva Convention said they were not to do. They starved them to death, which they were not to do. They were supposed to treat them, they were supposed to have the same rations as their soldiers. How can you do that? Some of you knew the story of Louis Zamperini in World War II. Floated in the Pacific and ends up in a POW camp. He was a guy that was the Olympic potential gold medalist. And he was there in that prison camp. That stirred me up a lot because he was just brutalized by this guy that was second commander of that camp. That guy got away scot-free. Now he's not. I'm not sure what levels there are in Hades for these people. But it was interesting. They did not, and a lot of people they got with that, dangled at the end of a rope, which is interesting. That has nothing to do with this. But we can be thankful for all men. Why? How? I don't know. It's really hard for me to be thankful about some. And that's why I don't mess with politics anymore. If I did, there were days because of my prejudices for certain countries. Okay, just a sec. That's what I want. Okay. Paul says, I am thankful to my God. Like I say, it's a lid case. He says it here. He says it in Romans 1:8. Let me read it in the King James. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, Southern Paul, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. So you're thankful for these Romans. Interesting, the whole world. We can go beyond it and deal with that more. In 1 Corinthians 14:18, is that right? Let me look at my Greek. Yeah. It says, I thank my God in the AV, which would be, give thanks to my God, which is the same thing we're looking at here in this verse. I speak in tongues more than you all. He was an apostle and he could speak in tongues because that was part of his gifting. Paul says in Philippians 1:3, I thank my God for my remembrance of you. I used to think that there was too much sentimentality in the song Precious Memories. Now I'm dating myself again. Precious memories, how they linger. Those thoughts. When we have precious memories, be thankful. You can be thankful for things past, people past, events past. Thanksgiving tends to do that, doesn't it? The days in the past when you sat down with people at the table and sitting at the table with them and sharing around at that Thanksgiving meal, there are a lot of people there that we can be thankful for in different situations, different circumstances. I was intrigued. I got a card this week from one of my cousins. She wants to keep in touch, which is good. And she remembered, and it seems like a special memory, of going to my grandmother's, I think, or it was Uncle Roger's anyway, and Dale and Sandy were there for Thanksgiving. And she remembered that. which was, and I was, I would like to think that she could be thankful for that. That memory. How long ago was that? Man, talk about dark ages. long ago. And so the every remembrance, that's one thing about Thanksgiving, it's a time for thanks, for remembering. Paul says in 2 Timothy 1:3, I give thanks to my God, I'm going to translate it that way, whom I serve from my forebears with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of you in my times of worship night and day. Remembrance? To remember. The challenge that has been in my life for quite a while is trying to justify bad memories and being thankful for them. I don't have a lot, but to be thankful for them. You know, it's kind of interesting. Sometimes I see that God used that as a crucible to polish me up the way he wanted me. So I can be thankful in that. And I have those kinds of memories sometimes, not often. But Paul thinks about that. Philemon, I thank my God, or I give thanks to my God, always making mention of you at the time of my communication of worship. So you see, you know what I just did? I just added two more verses to letter F. 1 Corinthians 14:18 and Philemon 4, if you're interested on that. I plan to just send this outline out. I'm not going to write a synopsis this week on this one, and I'll just put the verses in right. Okay, to the God is the next line in 1 Corinthians 1:4. He says, I am giving thanks to the God. There's a definite article in front there which refers to God the Father. He's a direct recipient. I have a lot of people that are thoroughly confused about the very idea that most of our communication, or I would say now, all of our communication is ultimately to the Father. Thanksgiving is one of those. It's interesting, I have a list, I forgot to put my count in there, under to the God, how Eucharisto, the verb, is used and directed to the Father. It's either the God or God the Father. It's clear. The noun is used three times, directed to the Father. It happens to be in Philippians 4:6. Which is one of those lists. It is through the agency of Christ Jesus. This thing of I thank you, Jesus. One of the songs I used to really enjoy singing was, and it gives me fond memories, talking about memories. We would do a choir concert through all the time I was in choir in college. And when we were on tour, we were out, I don't know how many churches, usually it was 2 weeks, and we would sing all over the place. Two services Sunday, we were. But you know, when we get through and I come off the risers, and some would go to their assignments. That is, somebody had to be at the literature table and they greet people. You know, it was a PR thing, admittedly. But you know, when we came off the risers and gathered at the, and right after that service, thank you, Jesus, for all you've done. Thank you, Lord, was the song. With a chorus, we sang every for 4 years after every one of them. Talk about sincerity. Some of them were more sincere than others. When you managed to get through it, and we gave the wrong person the credit in that. So that becomes a very interesting problem. Instead of giving the Father, directing it to the Father, we don't sing that here. I always have questions about thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Who's the Lord? A lot of people make it Jesus. The word Eucharisto or the word Eucharistia is not used of the Son being the recipient of it. There is one verse that says thanks to Jesus Christ, and it's not Eucharistat, which just grace is. And that happens 13 times where the charis is translated thanks in the King James Version. And so this idea of being thankful to the Father through Jesus Christ and in the character of Christ. In Ephesians 5:20, when I read it, you probably weren't thinking of all the details in it, but you were thankful in the character of Christ. Isn't it nice to thank the Father and know that the Son has had so much to do with it, and God the Father looks to his right and sees the one who effectively accomplished a lot of it is one in whose character you communicate. That's called grace, again, in that. And so that's the focus of it. Now, next word, singular word, is always. Pentateuch. Always. What that is at all times. You know, the time or frequency of thanksgiving. We have to kind of train ourselves in being thankful. It's that things are going in our mind underneath everything else is going on. You know, I'm thankful we don't have to close our eyes and bow our heads to be thankful. I do a lot of thinking when I shouldn't close my eyes and bow my head. So I'm sure my head, and I'm sure you do too. You get behind the wheel of a car, if you close your eyes and bow your head, you better be ready for a crash and the airbag in that matter. But you do it, or you can do it all the time. The idea of having a thankful conversation with God all the time in your mind. You know, it's like somebody's always with you because they are. But when you communicate, to know that God, the Godhead is with you wherever you are, and that you can be thankful all the time. And we're not trying to impress God with it. It means that we really, really, really do appreciate him. And for the benefits, you know, some days you may stop and see someone who's packing an oxygen container, and you have to stop and say, thank you, Father. I don't need to have extra help. I can breathe without it. If you are the one carrying the oxygen container, you can say, thank you, Father. You seem fit to leave me here for where I am as long as I am, in that matter. This idea of being thankful always, at all times. I put the passages in we touched already. The one I wanted was 2 Thessalonians 2:13. It's at all times. You have that opportunity. Being aware. You're not going around saying, thank you, Father, thank you, Father, thank you, Father. But you're thinking in your mind, as things happen, you just say, you can say, thank you, Father. I sometimes think in my house that if people were around, I'm going to have to change my habits, if anything, that I have people around. But I have a little problem. I verbally talk to God in some ways. I mean, and people must think I'm going crazy if they'd heard that. Here I'm confessing. No, because that's what happens. I was just thinking yesterday, somebody thought I was totally crazy. I was working on a little project, and it was a simple project. All it involved was screwing two pieces together. But cross-threading is not the way to do it. And I managed to cross-thread it. I don't know how in the world I cross-threaded it. I could not take it apart. I couldn't get it so that I could try it again. So I tried it about four times yesterday. And finally, what happened, I ended up it came off in a different way than it should have, and I was able to take a vise and get rid of the cross thread. It was interesting how often I had to say, thank you, Father. And it was interesting why I said, thank you, Father, sometimes, because I knew it was going to work sometime, but it hadn't. And that possibility. And I verbally said, thank you, Father. And I walked down my hall and I said, thank you. I really appreciate that. I feel so much better now than having to know that I did have that project ahead of me. You never have that happen to you. So my illustration's not very good. But anyway, in that matter, so we can be thankful and always at all times concerning you. Oh, Paul, why did you say that? This church is called Corinth. Chapter 3 says you are carnal. How could he ever be thankful for carnal people? Over 50% of them had to be carnal. And what he has to say, they were living in their sin nature. And so he says, concerning you guys, and who are the you guys? It says the church, which is at Corinth, verse 2. Boy, that doesn't sound very spiritual to be thankful for carnal, does it? But you know, the reason makes all the difference in the world. They were carnal. But it's interesting, he comes to 2 Corinthians, and they have been giving him a lot of trouble. He has, and I'm glad they gave him trouble. Now that sounds bad, doesn't it? The reason I'm glad they gave him trouble is because he had to defend his apostleship. And we have more biographical information about Paul in 2 Corinthians than anywhere else outside. Well, Galatians has some, but not quite like 2 Corinthians. And so we learn a lot about him as he defended his apostleship in there. So I'm thankful they gave him a bad time, because I know some things about Paul I could have not otherwise known. And God wanted it that way. So we can be thankful for that. And so concerning you Corinthians, do I need to go and read that verse? Let me read it out of 3. It says in chapter 3, and I'm going to start at 1 and read down to 3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as babes. And the word babes is inarticulate babblers in Christ. Notice the in Christ here. We'll come back to that in chapter 1. I have fed you with milk, not with meat. And here, hitherto, you were not able. You did not have the power. Essentially, he says to bear it here in italics, but to handle it. Neither now are you able. In other words, he fed the milk and they couldn't even handle it. And then he comes on, for you are yet carnal. For as there is among you envying and strife and divisions, and you are carnal and walk as natural men, as men, unsaved men. That's essentially what he said. Yet Paul says, I'm thankful concerning you Corinthians. That seems out of character, doesn't it? Why would Paul, the apostle of all things, be thankful for a bunch of carnal people? Well, you remember that when he visited Corinth, all he preached there was the gospel. He never could write to the Corinthian church like he could write to the Thessalonian church. Because in the Thessalonian church, he was able to instruct them substantially. But these guys were carnal. They couldn't get a bit of teaching. And so there's some implication of some, but they didn't get it. They couldn't. Because they were carnal. The carnal apostle went to Corinth and people got saved and he had a carnal church. Is what happened. And so here in 1 Corinthians 1:4, he says, for you guys, he mentions you twice in here, concerning you, about you. But why? I'm so thankful you're carnal. No, that wasn't what Paul had to say. He didn't say that. Let's read on. As we move on, it says, I am thankful concerning you, for the grace which God has given you in Christ Jesus. They were undeserving, just like the rest of us were when we got saved. And so we will move down to the ultimate there in Christ Jesus. I'm thankful, and we should all be thankful for anybody who is in Christ Jesus. Now, I just gave some people excuses. I've known people who have made a decision that this person isn't saved, so I don't have to be thankful for them. They forget it says for all men. And so what they do, this person's not saved in the first place. We have a new set of rules because they're not. I think it's really interesting, the issue of who knows who's saved and who knows who's not. We don't, but God does. And that reminder, there was been a bit of a conflict with some online about whether the resurrection is necessary for faith to be saved. 1 Corinthians 15 is not exactly obscure at all. And there was a guy, a pastor, who wrote an email or something. Anyway, it was online. And he said, you're saying I wasn't saved because I just believe that Christ died for my sins. And I thought, you know, my response is just God knows. And it was really interesting. I mean, so adamant. I mean, they were vicious, the things these people said in that matter, because they didn't want the resurrection to be a necessary part of the gospel. So throw out 1 Corinthians 15 and kick Paul off of the team because he was persecuted for that same problem. On that, we have that in the pastorals on that matter. But here you have this opportunity to be thankful for the good grace of God. Whoops, we are redundant, aren't we? Because of the grace. You have an epi here, the provision of grace. Grace is to you. Verse 3. Grace is to you. It belongs to you. He said that to the Corinthians. The word grace is found 10 times in the first book of 1 Corinthians. How does he conclude the book in chapter 16? Let me read 16:23. You see, there's grace all around these Corinthians, and that makes some sense. It says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is with you. There's an is there instead of a be, if you're looking. It's an italics. My love is with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. My love, grace is, and Paul says, my love. You see why he was thankful? He loved some people who were just pure, unadulterated carnal. And so he directs it. Isn't it kind of fun to see? It's been so much of a blessing to be working these things on grace. It's just, this grace is to you material. I didn't quite get it done the way I wanted, so that's going to be one of the projects as I move through this week on this grace thing. Point 6, next phrase, next line, which or the one which has been given, that is being given freely. So as we go on through verse 4, it has been given. It's a first aorist passive. Somebody else gave it, and it's freely giving. Doesn't look like did a me, but it is. It's one of those real irregular verbs that's found in the Greek. And it has the idea of, at a point in time, this was freely given. This grace was freely given. It's not a repetition of the same root, which sometimes happens. This is did a me versus charizomai, the two different words that was given to you guys. There's our plural. These people in the church of Corinth who were carnal, most of them were carnal, they got grace. It was freely given to them. They have no excuse for chapter 3. None. Because that grace makes it possible for them not to be carnal. Grace provides all of that. That's the core. And so that you don't have to be carnal. And that's what he's saying here. I should be able to look at you as one who is not carnal. He's still thankful because of what? Because they're in Christ Jesus. That thanksgiving is really important. I mean, you see these words, they flow together here in this matter. And when I say in Christ Jesus, that leads us to the last three words in the verse, and it's in Christu Jesu, in Christ Jesus. That grace is in Christ Jesus. Now, as I mentioned, the King James says by. I wish they hadn't. New King James follows that. They're like puppies when they make some of these mistakes, and the New King James corrects some of them. They didn't get this one. And like I said, out of 27 translations, 20 of them that I had checked. I had some more I'd like to check, but I ran out of time. Of those have in Christ Jesus. They understood it as that. Why? One of the reasons, because of context. You don't have in Christ as often in 1 Corinthians as you might. And so in Christ Jesus, it's locative, that means in. It's not instrumental. It means not by. The instrument by which? No. That's what the King James does. And so I needed to mention that very clearly. And so it's interesting in verse 2, what does it say? And that's the reason I wanted to read down this section. It says, those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus. You see, he sets a precedent in verse 2. And just a sec, that's right. I always have fun with some of these titles. They'll flip them around on me. You know, in Jesus Christ or Christ Jesus. And these are consistent in this verse and in verse 4. The position in Christ. Would have been fun to just sing stanza 4 of He Looked Beyond My Fault 4 times. Just because we need the reminder always, don't we? We can just remember those that we have all the one part of what we are counted to be in Christ, our position in that verse. We sing in the beloved. It mixes position and possessions. That is so significant and so important. I don't remember when we started to sing in the beloved and when we started to sing He Looked Beyond My Fault as a key plank in our services. It had to be more than 20 years ago that we started to do that. Is that a rut? No, it's a reminder. It's not a rut, is the idea. So we sing those songs just so we get our heads in our position in this matter, because they are in Christ Jesus. We see in him in the next verse. That's why I put it here in my notes, because I wanted to tie it. In everything you are enriched in him, in all word, every word, and in all experiential knowledge. Again, don't forget the church that's involved here. But I wanted the in him, because there's an emphasis upon that. Chris is headed toward the riches of grace in Christ Jesus. I'm having fun watching him. And the reason I'm having fun is because I know I've learned how he thinks and how he comes to the text. And, I see too much of me there. No, I shouldn't say too much. I hope it's okay. But I see him with that intelligent pursuit of truth and trying to put it together in a logical fashion. Enriched is our next term in verse 5. Because he's thankful because God has enrich them in everything. In everything, in all things, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, we look there. You know, everything, in all things. And it's related to the provisions of grace in Christ Jesus. You can't get any richer than you are in Christ. You could put the top 10% earners, well, I guess even 5% earners, with all of the money they have and all the influence they have, it doesn't compare to what you already have in Christ as far as being enriched. It's a passive voice. That means God did this. What you have is far greater than any physical thing on planet Earth. So much greater. And I wish I could tell you more about it. I can tell you what Scripture says, but I can't. I mean, my mind spends quite a bit of time thinking about it. I'm thinking about what it's going to be. What's going to, I mean, I'm speculating when I do that, I know. But I think of my God and I think of how he thinks as is revealed in his word. And I wonder how this is going to work out forever. All I know, it's going to be perfect. It should be enough. Not for me, it isn't always enough. I just like to know a little bit more. We're all in a similar boat, aren't we? And so having been enriched, and it's like I said, it's a passive voice, and that means that you've been made spiritually rich. You don't have a huge bank account. But this doesn't take a bank. This takes me back to childhood. Scrooge McDuck wouldn't be able to swim around in his light ball with money. Gold coins. I'm watching because some of us read Scrooge McDuck when we were little kids. You know, Donald Duck and Scrooge. You know, he just swam in his money. I still remember him diving in. I thought, man, that must have hurt. But he was a duck, so it would work. But these are riches in him. That takes us over to Ephesians 1:7. Ephesians 1:7. In whom? That's in Christ Jesus. I want to emphasize that because in whom? We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to or down from the riches of grace. In him, we have the riches of grace. And that in whom is very, very important because it's the way it's a pronoun looks back to in Christ. And so these riches, and we understand a teeny, teeny bit, but not nearly as much as I know I would like. An example of some of those riches are over in the end of chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians in verse 30. It's one of those little passages that are handy to remember because it deals with three elements of position. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who God is made unto us wisdom, even righteousness, and sanctification and redemption. Righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Can you get better riches than those? That's just an example in this passage. And so we have all riches. Do we have anything to be thankful for? Boy, we certainly do. Every time we think of what's been provided by the grace of God, we have that opportunity to say thank you, Father. And to be able to do it is, this is a natural response. Then he goes on, and this is not the purpose of my message or the purpose of having five. He says, enriched by him in him in all utterance. The word utterance, it's just the word logos. It's the word word in every word. So that Paul is saying, well, a little later here, he said, you've got all the spiritual gifts. You're to be zealous for them. Now you see the word charisma in verse 7. And he says, and in all experiential knowledge. That I think is setting him up for the spiritual gift material. But what I wanted to do here was just take the time to go working down, especially verse 4, word for word, just to see what it says. What a great deal of information there is in that verse concerning thanksgiving. But you see the link to grace? It's a response to the good grace of God. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. But God, by his grace, because he loves us, gives it to us as unmerited favor. And so we can say, I find that as good grace. And so I thank you for the benefit from it. Next click. We start to look at his love and or some other part of his character. And I praise him for that. So I trust that this interesting verse, you know, I think it maybe can be instructive. Sometimes it's hard to say, well, I've got some curbs in my Thanksgiving. There are some people I don't want to be thankful for. There are some things that happen to me I don't want to be thankful for. There are sometimes I don't feel thankful. But we can do it at all times for everyone. Because we have an intimate relationship with God. The closer we get to him, the better we can see things through his perspective. And it's a lot easier to be thankful. Thank you, Father, for the opportunities of the hour. What a blessing it is to open your word. Even see just one verse that talks about thanksgiving. Yet it covers all kinds of realms of the truth when we understand the backdrop. May you bless us as we think on these things, and we will thank you in Christ's wonderful name. Amen.